The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Good morning, folks, and welcome again to Faith Unscripted, a weekly broadcast here on WRCR when we talk about all things spiritual. And your questions make our show, so please call us if you have any question, concern, observation, thought about spirituality, faith, religion. I'm not sure we can answer all of your questions, but we can certainly struggle with them alongside of you. My name is Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. I'm the pastor of the Clarkstown Reformed Church in West Nyack on 107 Strawtown Road. And if you have no faith family, we would love you to at least explore ours, because every week we welcome new people and we would be happy to welcome you. As a matter of fact, the number of folks on who have listened to the radio show are now coming regularly to our services and have become vital, wonderful members of our faith community. So everybody's welcome. Again, it's 107 Strawtown Road, West Nyack, New York. The Sunday service is at 10:30, we have a Bible study on Wednesdays. That would be tomorrow at 6:30 in the evening. Everybody's welcome. So let's start by talking about Mother's Day, because this past Sunday, as all of you know or should know, we celebrated Mother's Day, and that is the day of the year set aside to honor our mothers. Now, I was driving over to the station this morning thinking about talking to you about Mother's Day, and it came to me that every day, in a way, should be Mother's Day, because there isn't a day in our lives that we shouldn't be grateful to the mother that God gave us. Because without her, we would not have life. And let me give a tip of the hat to the fathers, too, because without our moms and our dads, we wouldn't be here. And for most of us, it's unthinkable to the thought of non-being is not something we can wrap our minds around. So without the collaboration of God and our mothers and fathers, we would not have life. So the life-giving mothers of our families ought to be honored not only on Mother's Day, but on every day. At Clarkstown Reformed Church, we had a Mother's Day dinner dance on Saturday, the Saturday before Mother's Day. And let me tell you, there was a small miracle that occurred. We had about 100 people coming to the dance. We had our table set up. The place was, our auditorium was looking beautiful. We had the candles up on the tablecloths and the tables, and the seats were covered with the seat covers. The DJ was there, Frank, and he was playing all the great songs. We had the dancers from the Fred Astaire Dance Studio on Bardonia Road in Bardonia. And they were there to do demonstration dancing, and they were marvelous, by the way, absolutely marvelous. Tip of the hat to them. And it's the dinner was set to start at 6. We opened the doors at 6 anyhow, and we were going to eat at around 7:15. And at around 10 to 7, somebody came to me and said, "The food isn't here." We were getting food from Frankie and Johnny's in the Bronx. They were catering it for us. It's a great place. And they thought that our event was on Sunday because, after all, it was a Mother's Day dinner dance. So they weren't thinking that they were going to be delivering us any food until Sunday. Well, we called them, and now this is close to 7 o'clock. These conversations are taking place. And they said, "Well, we'll try our best to get something there by 8. Getting food from the Bronx to West Nyack over that bridge, having it cooked and ready and in good shape in 1 hour, is almost impossible. At least it was almost impossible as I thought about it. And I had two options. I said to myself, self, you can either you can either just get terribly upset, or you can stay calm, realize that this is somehow the day that God had ordained, and give the whole problem to God, trust in God, and say, look, Lord, I don't know what I can do. You deal with it for me, please. And with that, I sort of calmly went about thinking how I can salvage the day. So we changed the schedule. We decided, well, we couldn't eat before 8, assuming that the food would get there by 8. So the Fred Astaire dancers, they were so wonderful. If you don't know Victor Rousseau and his wife Tasha and Costin and his wife Jane, who are the dance instructors over at Fred Astaire, they are just wonderful people. They are also, most of them, from the Ukraine or from Moldova or those republics around the Soviet Union. So many of them have families that are in grave danger back in the old country because of the war between Russia and Ukraine. But they came and they were wonderful. They danced in these beautiful costumes. They did a traditional Ukrainian waltz. Victor and his wife did a beautiful waltz, and then he did a foxtrot. I've taken dance lessons from Victor, and the foxtrot that they taught me is nothing like the foxtrot that he danced. It was so elegant and beautiful. So the entertainment that they provided took people's minds off the fact that they were sitting at tables with, you know, no food around. My office manager at the church, and she's also the vice president of our church board, Myrtella Monroe, has a son, Kevin Friesen. He's a doctor. And he's a tremendously talented young man. He brought his saxophone, and he played a tribute to Mothers. It was gorgeous, like a jazzy-type number. Victor came back and did some more dancing. They were finished a little after 8, and by that time, the food had arrived. I was absolutely amazed. The day was better than I could have even planned it. And I attribute this, you know, to God's plan, because I didn't think they would ever get that food there. But I had faith that God would save our bacon somehow, and he certainly did. The food not only arrived, it was delicious. They served salmon, and it wasn't fishy at all. Everything was wonderful from Frankie and Johnny's. I would never use another caterer at the church, because they were so good about fixing the problem. And so I just wanted to share that with you, because I thank God that we had as beautiful and happy an event for Mother's Day as we did have. And it really, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, but it came out right anyhow. And so thank you, Lord, and thanks to all the people who contributed to making that event a success. I believe we'll do it every year on the Saturday before Mother's Day. We'll make it an annual event, so mark your calendars now and stay tuned. But beyond having a wonderful event, we were able to honor mothers. And let me just talk again about how important motherhood is. We are going through a time now in our country when there's a great deal of rancor around a leaked draft Supreme Court decision that seems to be indicating that Roe versus Wade, a 1973 decision of the Supreme Court, might be overturned. Let me explain what that means. What that means is that there will no longer be a constitutional solution acknowledged for abortion. abortion then becomes the province of the states. So state legislatures, politicians, the elected representatives of the people, will then need to address the question of under what circumstances should abortion be legal. And each state becomes a laboratory of democracy. The states won't create the same solutions. New York's going to be different than Louisiana, which will be different than California, which will be different than Iowa. But that's a good thing because we get to see what works and what doesn't work. And it's also a good thing because the people then get to hold their elected representatives accountable for what they do. When a judge with life tenure hands down a decision that really is legislating from the bench, he is violating, or she is violating, the constitutional role that the judiciary plays. Judges are not there to make law. They're there to interpret it. And they can't interpret it out of whole cloth. At least they can't do it legitimately. Because that is the role of the elected representatives of the people. Precisely because then the people can hold those elected representatives accountable. They will do what the people seek, or they won't do it. And then they'll be held to that standard at the next election. So constitutionally, the loss of Roe versus Wade is no big deal, at least in my mind. Roe was actually a very poorly decided case. So you know, while it's taken on the appearance of this massive protection for people, for women who want abortions, in fact, it created a very arbitrary schema that was perhaps understandable in 1973, but as medicine grows beyond the times that Roe was decided in, Roe becomes less and less and less viable as a constitutional schema. So those who are yelling bloody murder that abortion will be outlawed in the United States, that's just wrong. I mean, I don't think it would be so bad for abortion to be outlawed, because I think that the taking of the life of a fetus, you know, a fetus, what's a fetus? A fetus is an unborn child. And when you have a pregnant woman, a gynecologist or an OBGYN doctor has two patients. One patient is the mother, the other patient is the child. When we say that the life of the child can be snuffed out at the whim of the mother, we are saying that the life of the unborn child is relatively speaking valueless, and over time, the courts have allowed not only late term abortion, but partial birth abortions. Now, imagine a partial birth abortion. Partial birth abortion is what happens when a child is in the process of leaving the birth canal, coming out of the mother's womb and you know, breathing its first breath. A partial birth abortion is killing the child in that process. You wait 10 minutes and you're murdering a baby. And maybe that's gone on more than we'd like to admit. So when life becomes cheap and disposable in a society, we are in big trouble. So what my position is, and I'd love to hear from some of you out there because I know this is somewhat controversial, my position is that when you have life, you have something that God has ordained. And no matter how that life has come to be, there's a meaning and a purpose to it. And we need to honor and revere it. We can't just dispose of it willy-nilly. So the other thing that I find disturbing, although I think do we have a caller? We have a caller. Let's, before I get disturbed anymore, caller, how can I help you?
Hi, good morning.
Good
how
morning.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank God. I was just wondering what your opinion was on, you know, talking about abortion.
Uh-huh.
What happens when there's a young child that was raped? Like, I'm talking about young, like early teenager. Are they expected to carry out an entire pregnancy and go to birth at such a little age? I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a really good question, right? And that's one of the issues that a legislature would have to grapple with. In trying to determine what a fair statute would look like that legitimates at least some abortions, say in the case of rape or incest. My position is that once you have an individuated life, that life has meaning. And so the balancing act that you'd have to weigh, what you'd have to weigh is what damage is this doing to a child? Now, a teenager who's been raped is a child, but sort of an older child. It's a very difficult question because that the life of the child has purpose, and so I think the best thing to do would be to, as lovingly as possible, help the child have its child, have the kid who's been raped and impregnated. Though this happens very rarely, but it does, you're right, happen. And then try to provide as much support, care, psychological counseling as possible to help the mother through the trauma. How would you handle it? Did I lose you?
She's still on. It might be a connection issue on her end.
Oh, yep, there?
We just lost her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Her line just went dead. But she can call back.
I'd love to hear how you'd answer that question because I think it's a very difficult one, and I understand people coming down on different sides of it. I tend to err on the side of the life of an unborn child because those unborn children are so innocent and their lives haven't even begun, and we don't know what promise that child would have. The child of a raped teenager could grow up to cure cancer, you know, could grow up to be a great scientist or thinker or philosopher. So we end a universe of possibilities when we end the life of a child before it gets born. Because once a person is born, their life has limitless consequences. As they have children and their children have children, and in hundreds of years, there's a whole tribe related to that one person that would never have been in being had we snuffed out that life. But that's a great question. Thank you very much for asking it, and I'd love to hear more questions along those lines. I'm troubled too, though, about the intolerance of those who are disappointed by the thought of Roe versus Wade being overturned. I know there were a lot of somewhat violent protests at Catholic churches because the Catholic Church has been a very vocal proponent of or protector of fetal life and opponent of abortion. And, you know, the process of democracy is a process of give and take. We always don't win. And we don't always get what we want. And if I go to the streets with my placards and my anger every time my side loses, that becomes rule by the mob. And I can think of no worse method of government than that. And I think we have a caller. Caller, how can
yes,
I help you?
Yes, this is the caller from before.
Oh, thanks for calling back.
Sorry, I have a bad connection area. I love your answer. And what I wanted to add to that is there are so many people that want to adopt. So rather give up a baby for adoption than abort.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And I agree. And there are so many people who are looking to adopt, who can't have children of their own, and who would love to welcome a new baby into their homes.
Right.
So I know one of the national news shows brought race into that. You know, there are more there are more unadopted black and Hispanic kids than there are white kids. I think that's a skunk at a garden party, because that's completely, if you look at all the numbers, the children looking for adoptive homes if you look at them in racial groups, are relatively speaking proportionate to their numbers, the percentage of those people in the larger society. So yeah, yes, there are lots of unadopted black babies and Hispanic babies, but there are even more unadopted white babies, and who the heck cares? Let's stop thinking about colors. And let's start thinking about human beings, because every human being is of value. And I don't give a hoot what color you are, what racial composition you have, the melanin in your skin looks like. We are all children of God, for God's sakes. And there are loads of white families who would welcome black children into their homes. Loads of black families who would welcome white children into their homes. It's not color. It's let's get a child and let's love that child.
Right. Let's look at life itself.
I mean, Amy Coney Bryant, Barrett, the Supreme Court Justice. If you look at her family, she's got all sorts of kids adopted. Her family looks like the League of Nations.
Beautiful.
And she's just a beautiful, faith-filled woman. She is a woman of faith. So, thank you so much for calling back.
Yes, sure. It's my pleasure speaking to you today.
Okay. God bless you. As we move on, I just want to remind everybody that there will be an event up at Clover Stadium. That's a Boulder Stadium in Pomona for the Living Well with Parkinson's folks. Right, there will be all sorts of wellness expo activities and a dessert table, that where we can learn about medications, hospital systems that help folks with Parkinson's. Lots of great hospital systems will be present: Mount Sinai, Weill Cornell, Hackensack Meridian Health, Columbia Presbyterian. There will be physical therapy assessment available, nutrition for PD, voice for PD consult, and my favorite thing, they will have the little ponies there. So it will be a great day for the family to come out. And if you, especially if you have a loved one who has Parkinson's disease, it's Monday, May 16th. That's next Monday, 3:30 to 6 p.m. outdoors at Clover Stadium in Pomona. Be there or be square, as they say. Should be fun. I'm going to go because I love those little ponies, and it's a good thing. We're about midway through our show, so I would like to take a little interlude and play our Ava Astin. Ava Astin is an amazing singer. She's a vocalist. She's a recording artist. She's an actress. And she sings every week at our church, at least almost every week. And here she is last week singing Live in Us.
Waters raging at my feet, I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same speaks, the same power Promises are true in His strength. There is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands a dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Oh,
that was Eva Aston singing last Sunday, Mother's Day, at the Clarkstown Reformed Church, accompanied by the amazing Richard Siegel on the piano. So thank you to Eva, and thanks also to Rich. And they're talking about the power of God in that song, the power of God that gives life when death appears to be victorious. And I'd like to speak about that power because, again, on the car trip over here to the station, I was thinking about evil and how much of it surrounds us in our world. And we don't have a great deal of power in ourselves except the power that God has given us. And that is the power that prevails. In the Psalms, there's a line that says, "Put not your faith in princes, in human beings, in whom there really is no lasting power." Because when we put our faith in princes, in politicians, in public leaders, we are putting our trust in people who have no real power other than the power of God, should they tap into it, the same power that's in us. So I think as we look at the challenges in our world, and there are many, there are challenges internationally. We see wars. At least we see the one we know best is the war between Russia and Ukraine, and that's a war that threatens to engulf the region, at least, in a terrible conflict. We see the Communist Chinese Party salivating to invade Taiwan, and probably at some point in the next year or so, they will do that, and that will mean that there will be war in the Pacific theater as well. And these are things that we have very little power to control, to manipulate, to stop, or to help. But what we can do is we can recognize that God is sovereign even in this world of war. And that somehow, as the Portuguese proverb goes, God writes straight with crooked lines. Somehow good comes out of every evil thing, even the worst of evil things. When we look internally in the United States, we see a lot of division and distrust and fear. And fear is a very dangerous thing because when we are frightened, we have the inclination to trust leaders who offer us easy outs. So when you see every tyrant that has ever ruled a once free people, you know, and look at Hitler, look at Stalin, they started with fear. Fear that paralyzed people who ordinarily would have thought twice before following the easy answers that a guy like Adolf Hitler gave by generating scapegoats like the Jews and the Gypsies and people who he felt to be expendable and less than human. So how do we avoid that? We avoid that by putting our trust in the God who promises us that we need not fear. If you go through both the Jewish and the Bible in the New Testament, you will find repeated over and over and over again the term, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of man who can take the body but who cannot seize the soul. There are so many stories that come out of concentration camps in that were set up by the Third Reich of people whose spirits transcended the evil and the stench of those places because they put their faith in God. And they put their faith in the dignity of the human person, even when that dignity was being demeaned by evil people who exercised state power. So when you see a group in society scapegoated, when you see black people scapegoated, they're the problem, you know. Or white people scapegoated. It's all the problem is white privilege and whiteness, toxic whiteness. When you see any scapegoats, the unvaccinated are causing the pandemic. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth, by the way. But they become the scapegoats. Oh, that person isn't wearing a mask. What good could they be doing? See, these are the ways that we are tempted to fear. And as we fear, we give up our liberties for safety. And people who will give up their liberty for their safety will end up realizing that they have neither. So be on guard. Be watchful. The Romans had a saying, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. When you see stories on the news, be critical in your thinking. Sometimes we are being played. Sometimes what you're seeing isn't news, it's propaganda. So think, find multiple outlets, get both sides of every story you can, at least as often as you can, because you need to beware. You're the buyer, you're the consumer of information. But you have to realize that not all the information out there is good information. Not everything that is pushed as true is truth. So look deeper, look behind the glib answers that are offered by information outlets and realize that they have vested interests that we may not be seeing. So beware. We are often played in before America got into World War I, there was a telegram discovered, as luck would have it, by British intelligence going from a gent by the name of Zimmermann, who was the foreign minister for the Germans, to the Mexicans, promising that the Mexicans would be given Arizona, Texas, California, a few things down in the Southwest, if they went to war with the United States, should the United States get into World War I in the European theater. That telegram was made public, and it outraged, it created a war fever, frenzy in the United States. But there is fairly good proof that the telegram itself was a forgery by the British Secret Service, made public for the express purpose of generating war fever in the United States to get the United States into World War I. It was propaganda. So let's be very careful about what we believe and why we believe it. Not everything on the 6 o'clock news is newsworthy, so be careful. One of our former presidents said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in the United States when people were free. That is, of course, the wisdom of President Ronald Reagan. So what's the take home from this? It is, I believe, our religious duty first to trust in God and to pray for wisdom in all things. The letter of James says, if we pray for wisdom, we will not be denied it. Pray for wisdom. The promise of God is, if we pray for wisdom, we will be given wisdom, the wisdom we need for each day of our lives. Then don't be a couch potato citizen. Get involved. Get involved politically with whatever political party you like. But get on the inside so you can see what's going on, hear what's going on, get to know the players, don't take that experiment or experience uncritically. Learn what you can from being a participant in political action. Take political action though. Be an actor, not a passive recipient of things. Join committees, get out there and campaign for political candidates that you like, but know what they stand for. Know everything that they stand for, because if you don't stand behind everything they stand for, you're buying a package that has some poison in it. And remember, if you take a glass of pure water and just put a few drops of poison in it, you don't have pure water anymore. You have a poisoned beverage. So make sure you like what you're supporting. Know your own values. And where do you find your values? Well, my brothers and sisters, I hope you find those values in your faith, in the sacred words of your sacred texts. For Christians, it's the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. For Jews, it's the Jewish Bible. For Muslims, it's the Quran. But look there for what the word says is just living. Because that's where we take our marching orders from. We must take our religious faith into the marketplace, or we'll be stuck with values that we find odious. Now, the abortion debate is a case in point. If you see the value of life in the womb, then you're not going to want to support anybody who supports abortion. And that means Republicans who support it, Democrats who support it, know what your people want are behind, and try to find the best public servants that you can, and help and support them, and then hold them accountable by voting. Every one of us has the right to vote. Use it. And lastly, ensure that the elections are honest. I just saw the Dinesh D'Souza movie, 2000 Mules, and I went to it not knowing what to expect, but what I found was conclusive evidence of massive voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election, massive voting fraud, enough fraud in enough states that the outcome of the election is, in my mind, now questionable. So we can't. It happened once. If D'Souza's information is correct, and I have no reason to think it isn't, because he provided a lot of proof, a lot of evidence in the film. But we have an obligation not only to vote, but to ensure that elections are not fraudulent. Because fraudulent elections really mean that we are not a free people, that we are governed by our overlords, and we have no say in our future. Whatever you think of President Trump, if he legitimately won the last presidential election and it was stolen from him, then those who did the stealing were committing treason. And what we saw in 2020 was a coup d'etat, a bloodless coup d'etat. I leave those questions to you to think about, to research, and then to act upon in the way you deem best. But we have to ask these questions because we are, excuse me, we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are citizens of the United States of America. And as citizens of God's kingdom, we need to bring the integrity and the truth that God wills us to be the agents of. We need to bring that to the public square in every election and contest that matters. We have a school board election coming up next week. Know the candidates. Know what they stand for. Vote for them. Because the maxim that Tip O'Neill used to quote, all politics is local, is quite true. It all starts at the bottom and flows up to the top. So vote in that school board election, but don't vote mindlessly. Don't vote by party. Vote by issue. Vote by candidate. Know what they stand for. Call them up. They're local. They're our neighbors. Call the candidates up and ask them where they stand on critical race theory, on gender fluidity, on the school budget, on whatever you care about, but you should care about it all. These people are charged with the lives of our young kids, our sons and our daughters. And the kids who are in school for more time, more good time than they are at home. So we need to know how that environment of the school is being cared for. What is there in the school environment that we really cherish? Are the sports teams good, you know, vibrant, healthy groups of kids who are playing for fun and keeping in shape, and you know, and how about the curriculum? Are the kids learning math and science, and not being indoctrinated, but being educated on the basic knowledge that is required by every citizen of our society? Can they count? Can they do math? Can they? Do they know their English? You know, are they being taught the rules of grammar and syntax? We need to care about all that stuff. It's not little. Words and language matter. the language we speak conditions the way we think. And so when they screw with language, they screw with our minds. When they change words, when they change the meanings of words, when they change the meanings of pronouns, then we all are challenged to either think differently or resist the change. That's what your school board should be thinking about and helping you with. So political involvement, very important. Another important thing for Christian and for families of faith to do is to do things together. The other day, I went up to the stadium in Dutchess County, where the what do they call them? The team up there? I forget its name. The Renegades? Something like that. Their mascot's a little raccoon. Anyhow, I went up to their opening day game. Ava Aston from our church sang, and it was a great game. But it was also a nice family day. Families were there. It was a beautiful day to watch the baseball game. They have great hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff like that. So it was just a nice, wholesome thing for the whole family to do. A time, excuse me, turn off the devices, forget about the phones, get away from it all, and you know, get out to the ball game and watch them, watch the teams play in a nice, fresh air, open stadium. So we're lucky to have the Boulders, and this Thursday is opening day. So I just got tickets for the opening day. So join me up there at Boulder Stadium if you'd like, because it's a great opportunity for the family. On July 3rd. Our Ava is singing the anthem up in for the Boulders. It's the July 4th weekend, of course. So after the game, there's going to be fireworks, and we have a church trip up there. We've got 60 tickets at Clarkstown Reformed Church for our community to go up and cheer on the Boulders and cheer on Ava, who is a member of our community and who we love. So great way to spend time. What else can we do to foster family togetherness? Have dinner together. Turn off the devices. Get away from the iPads. Turn off the computers. You know, get away from it all, and sit around the table and talk with each other. When I was a kid, we never missed family dinner. It was 7 o'clock. And it was always my sister, my mom, my dad, and I around the table. We talked about world events. We talked about what was going on in our schools. We talked about the things that my parents were interested and concerned about. But the important thing was we talked. We were there together. And it was time to be a family. Families are losing touch with each other. We're so busy with so many events. I had a young man wander into my office last week, and he was very interested in reconnecting with God and being a part of the church. And we had a nice long talk. I said to him at the end of our conversation, I said, "Frank, why don't you come to church here? It's our services are 10:30 every Sunday morning." He said, "Well, I can't really, at least not now, because I'm on the staff of the local high school's baseball team, and we always have a Sunday morning game at 10. Well, you know, that's troubling to me, because scheduling a Sunday baseball game at 10 is scheduling people in a way that they can't come to church, and that's wrong, because church together is an important way that families cohere. And we have another caller. Caller, how can I help you?
Hi, Pastor Rich. It's Franny. How are you?
Franny, how are you?
All right. It's so nice to see people with their, you know, family, everybody. We went out for Mother's Day. I hope your wife had a good Mother's Day.
I hope she did, too. She's in Florida.
Oh, nice. I like to be there now. The warm weather. You know, you see people, the kids texting, and they're on there with the games. I think that's just awful. You know, they should be with, talk with their family and everything. We went out to Pastor Kachina. My husband took me. I told him I didn't want to go out, but he wanted to take me out. It was so packed that day.
Was it? Did you have reservations?
Yes, we did, and I still waited a half an hour. The whole place was packed like anything. You had to wait. So I sat down and waited half an hour. But it was so loud in there, Pastor Rich, because
really?
Everybody just talking and everything. I couldn't wait till the crowd just died down. It was, finally, it was about 8 o'clock. Then it started to die down without the crowd. I was like, oh, was I thrilled. Because with all the noise and everything and people were close together, I was so worried and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not wearing masks. I wear masks, you know, and everything. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'd never go again. You know, I told my husband, never again. Let's go. We could go anytime. We could go the week afterwards, the week before. Whenever you say you want to go. Even birthdays, I always say. We don't have to do it that day, you know.
There's always the backyard barbecue.
Right, right.
Which is always a lot of fun, too. Or a picnic.
Yes, yes.
You know, this, we're getting into good picnic weather.
Oh, I hope so. This week is supposed to be nice in the 70s. I hope so. Want to get out of this weather. It's so cold, too.
Well, yesterday was gorgeous. Today's gorgeous again. And
Very windy it's been, yes. I got to go to the dentist. I'm dreading that.
And we have so many beautiful parks around. We've got parks in Rockland County. We've got parks in
I got bad knees.
Just walk from the car to the picnic table. That's right. All you have to do.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
And sit there and watch the lake.
Right. Yes. I can't drive either, so that makes it bad, too. I can't. What are you going to do, you know? So.
At least your husband, and I respect him for this, he honored you on Mother's Day.
Yes, he did.
As we should. And the other thing to keep in mind as we look at Mother's Day is every day is a day we can affirm the people in our lives.
Yes.
We can see what's good in them and tease it out of them and compliment them on
what
we see.
Yeah, I even went to church, too,
nice.
So it was nice, yes.
Wonderful. What church did you go to?
Well, I used to belong to St. Anthony's.
Oh, yes.
I got
Father Jerry up there. Good guy.
Yes, Father Jerry. But then I got more involved in St. Francis, doing Cornerstone and helping out at the church and stuff, at parties and things, you know. And so, but Sunday I did go to St. Anthony's. I much to both. So
you never go wrong at St. Anthony's.
No,
Father Jerry's a wonderful man.
No, and I know... I used to know Deacon John Maloney.
Yes, God rest his soul, right?
Yes,
he just passed recently.
Yes, I know. I couldn't go to the wake and funeral, but I had sent something, you know, and a daughter we met sent me a beautiful card for him and then a nice thing inside.
And there's a guy who gave so much to our community over so many years.
Oh,
he was a man of faith. He was invested in this community. He worked in at the fire department for
the plays he did at what's called New City at the school.
Yeah,
I used to go to the plays to see him, and he would dance and sing and tell all the jokes. It was so good. Yes, yes.
Well, God bless him. And there's somebody in our community we can revel in as a person who lived a good, filled, joyful life and now lives eternally.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So he's with the Lord, and with the Lord is a good place to be.
Right, he is, yeah. Well, I won't hold you, Pastor Rich.
Franny, thank you for calling.
Yes, take care now.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And it's also a reminder that, Franny, your call, that we do have the opportunity to see and appreciate what's good in all the people around us. So say something positive to the people you meet today. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much they mean to you. Tell them how much they enrich your life simply by being in it, so that they know they're appreciated and they're loved. And in doing so, you not only spread your love, you spread the love of God. I hear our music on, so until next week, this is Pastor Rich Hasselbeck from the Clarkstown Reformed Church, 107 Strawtown Road, West Nyack, New York, saying God bless you, and I hope to see you here next week.
AM 1700, WRCR, Haverstraw.
It's Tuesday, May 10th. Filling in for Jeff Lewis for UWRCR News, I'm Michael Weiss. On Mother's Day, a tragic event led to the death of one man and one off-duty police officer in what some sources, according to News 12, claim to have been a murder-suicide, a potential crime of passion. The double fatal shooting occurred outside of a Buffalo